You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Too short, but Monroe was there to clean it up on the air ball as he lays it in off the glass for his first points in his second stint.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Portis is cooking. Here's another three, and it is Rip City for Bobby Portis. He sinks his sixth three-pointer of the night. He'll get to Giannis, who soars in with a thunderous one-hand slam with a foul.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah. I'm not going to say the Bucks are back. Greg Monroe is back. I'm not going to say the Bucks are all the way back, but the way they responded late in the game against the Wizards in the final game of the homestand feels like a month ago already. And the way they came out tonight, not a wire-to-wire win, but they dominated from start to finish. It started in the opening quarter. I'm sure a lot of us watching or listening to the game were doing so with a cautious eye of that scoreboard and saying, okay, I've seen this before. When are they going to take their foot off the gas? When is the let-up going to come? What is the moment in this game where the Blazers are going to make things interesting? And you just never saw it. A much-needed, dominant win for the Bucks, especially when you continue to survey the landscape in the Eastern Conference. You did not get help from the Miami Heat tonight. You don't want to be greedy if you're the Bucks, because they've gotten quite a bit of help since last playing on Tuesday. But the Bucks, with a dominant win tonight, continuing to make it tight in the Eastern Conference and starting to give you a little more confidence that this team is turning the corner, especially some of those comments we heard from Bobby Portis I'll dive into in just a moment. If you are still up, we're here until 1 a.m. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. 855-616-1620. What do you take from this game? It's a Blazers team. We mentioned this at length on the pregame show. It's a Blazers team that is clearly starting to wave the white flag. Yusef Nurkic with some interesting comments trickling out on the postgame for Portland just a couple of moments ago. But it's a Blazers team we saw make a deal a couple of days ago, trading away some core pieces, Robert Covington and Norm Powell, who the Bucks may see tomorrow night in Los Angeles. But you do wonder who else is next on this team. This is the time all of that talk is going to continue to spark up with the trade deadline less than a week away. But a dominant victory tonight from the Bucks, who take it to the Blazers on a night to remember for Bobby Portis. Mentioned on the network postgame, it really reminded you of what Giannis did last year in Portland. Granted, Giannis scored 17 more points in that game, but in terms of the efficiency, very similar to what we saw from Giannis in the 47-point game against the Blazers last year. But again, the number to get in touch with us, to all the night owls out there, early morning, early risers, I should say, 855-616-1620. Are the Bucks back? Plain and simple. We'll get to your thoughts. We'll get to the stat of the game. Mention a little bit about the trade deadline, especially the news that's starting to brew in Brooklyn and Philadelphia, and something new we're going to try as well, the tweet of the night. All of that and more after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. That's all.
Giannis left of the lane, left free throw line extended. He's going to pull up and he's going to fire up a shot. Too short, but Monroe was there to clean it up on the air ball as he lays it in off the glass for his first points in his second stint. Again with the Bucks.
So those dreams have remained.
Two of the six that Greg Monroe scored in his 15 minutes in his return to the Bucks. 6 points, six rebounds for Greg Monroe. A very, very trim Greg Monroe. Is if you did not see Greg Monroe on either of his two 10-day deals with the Wizards or the Timberwolves earlier this year, if you're not an international basketball follower and didn't see Greg Monroe there, You may have seen him check in tonight early in the opening quarter and think, man, that's Greg Monroe. And we saw, I think, the differences here with the more slim Greg Monroe with a lot more perimeter defense, something we didn't really see from Greg Monroe his first stint here, but you saw a little more of that versatility and just lateral movement ability from Greg Monroe tonight. So that, coupled with the good defensive hands that he's had all throughout his career, and look, I don't think any of us are expecting Greg Monroe to be the Brook Lopez replacement, but Greg Monroe just giving this team another body, even if it's only for 10 days, even if the Bucks don't do anything at the trade deadline or in the buyout market in terms of adding front court depth, these 2 weeks, 10 days for Greg Monroe here, this is big, that it gives you a little bit of that break and alleviates some of what you've asked Giannis and Bobby Portis to do. And as we check the calendar here, it is now the 6th of February. So 10 days is going to take us to the 15th. Of February, which is just outside of the All-Star break. So you're not going to necessarily have Greg Monroe up until that point, but really once you get through the month of February, there's only 20 games left on the NBA calendar for the Bucks, and the 15th is I believe when this 10-day deal would run through for Greg Monroe, and that would take you up until the game against the Indiana Pacers. So you would just have one game after that to take you to the All-Star break. And that's one where you would potentially say, hey, we're going to need as much size as we can get against Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers. But this, to me, is the perfect stopgap for the Bucks. And actually, I don't believe Greg Monroe would be eligible to play in that game against the Pacers. But nonetheless, it takes you up until that range there in the schedule. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Plain and simple, are the Bucks back? And how much of an impact did Greg Monroe bring? That ties into our tweet of the night. But before we get to the tweet of the night, time to unveil the stat of the day.
Everybody in here, stat.
I know you all like stats, so let me give you some.
Boss, here's our stat for the day.
Well, for me, there's the 29-point margin of victory. There's 23 threes the Bucks made in this game. It's their fourth game this season, hitting 20 or more threes. They shot 46% from three. They were the team generating points off of turnovers, 26 to be exact. Giannis with another big game. You could point to the 30 from Bobby Portis, but I'm pointing to 11 of 13. Bobby Portis missed two shots in this game. They were both threes, and as he joked on the postgame show, he had his foot on the line on two field goals. So he could have had 8 3-pointers in this game, but I just keep looking back to last year where Giannis was 18 of 21. The three misses were threes. And he scored 47 in Portland against the Blazers right around this time on the NBA calendar, near 50 games in. This game was game 54 for the Bucks. Bobby Portis scores 30, misses just two shots on 13 attempts, and both of them were threes. So the emergence of Bobby Portis tonight, his 30 points, his 6 threes, 30 points the most he scored in a Bucks uniform, 6 3-pointers matches a career high, and just an incredibly efficient night for Bobby, 11 of 13. That portion there, the 11 of 13, to me, is the stat of the game. And also, speaking of Bobby Portis, he just retweeted this. It was 8 years ago today. Bobby Portis set a freshman record at Arkansas, scoring 35 points in a Razorbacks victory over Alabama. 8 years ago today, so 8 years ago to the day, Bobby Portis scores 35 as a freshman in Arkansas, and then tonight Bobby Portis scores 30, the most he scored in a Bucks uniform in a big win over the Portland Trail Blazers. 855-616-1620 is that number to get in touch with us. It is going to be easy to look at Greg Monroe after one game and say, man, are the Bucks going to keep him around for the year? Is he the Boogie Cousins replacement? There's more to it. It's a more nuanced conversation than just does he replace this player. Again, Thursday is going to tell us a lot about how the Bucks view that center position moving forward, or just the front court depth in general. We'll get to that in a moment. And also, we already hinted at it, a couple of Bobby Portis-related tweets, a Greg Monroe-related tweet, a Dante DiVincenzo-related tweet, which will take home the tweet of the night. We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. And I also want to spend some time looking at the standings in the Eastern Conference, because now the Bucks are in third place in terms of win percentage here. They're a game out of the top spot in the East, but this conference remains heavily bunched up. Earlier in the week, we played you my whiff on the standings and what they would be on February 1st, but it's not too far off. And this Eastern Conference, we may start to see some separation. A lot of that is going to depend on what we potentially see happen on Thursday. But more importantly, the projections. There's a couple of sites that have their own models they've put together to project standings and what the final record for all teams in the NBA will be. A couple of things jump out. These update daily, but we've started to see some consistency set in with a couple of teams, and there is one thing specifically that jumps out to me about that. I'll tell you what I mean after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
And Middleton's trying to feed off the defense. He'll get to Giannis, who soars in with a thunderous one-hand slam with a foul. Oh, the Greek freak. A freakish flyer down the lane as he puts the Bucks out ahead by 20 on a highlight reel dunk that was violent in every sense of the word.
Only thing that was missing from that highlight was, I know it wasn't him getting fouled, but the only thing missing was hearing Greg Monroe scream and one there as he makes his return after nearly 5 years away. Greg Monroe is back. Greg Monroe gives the Bucks some more size, and the Bucks just, they don't play around with their food tonight. They do everything we've been asking for the last couple of weeks. They come in and they dominate an inferior opponent, something that this team had not done on a consistent basis all throughout this season. But it's different tonight as the Bucks give you one of those taking care of business victories in Portland to take care of the Blazers with a big near 30-point victory, and now head to Los Angeles for night two of a back-to-back tomorrow night against the Clippers. It is, look, not only a back-to-back tonight and tomorrow, today, technically, and not only that, but this is 4 games in 6 days. I heard it was referenced of 3 games in 4 days, the question posed to Bobby Portis, but it's 4 games in 6 days in this road trip overall that wraps up Thursday in Phoenix against the Suns. I am going to be curious to see how minutes are doled out tomorrow, because I've seen a few people already speculate, well, it's night two of a back-to-back. I know you got rest, but I still wouldn't be shocked to see some rest go around. I'm not sure about that. The Bucks just had 3 days off. This is 4 games in 6 days, as we'll mention again, but after those 6 days are up, you get 3 days off once again. Then you play 3 games in 4 days, and then you have 8 days off for the All-Star break. So, look, they have this stretch, two stretches of a compact schedule sandwiched between extended off days. 3 days off, then 4 games in 6 days, then 3 days off, then 3 games in 4 days, then 8 days off. And then in March, I mentioned this earlier tonight, you don't have any more stretches of 3 days off between games, but you do have 4 separate instances of 2 days off between games. So the March schedule does get more difficult. However, you do get some more time off built in there. So for that reason, and just for the simple fact that this is a team that is still seeking consistency. I would be surprised if we do see more than one player get the day off tomorrow. And even then, I'm under the assumption that everybody that played tonight is playing tomorrow. As you looked at some of the numbers, 25 minutes from Giannis, 25 minutes from Grayson Allen, only 24 minutes from Chris. Bobby only played 24 minutes. He scored 30 points in 24 minutes. Drew Holiday played 27 minutes. So this was quite a bit of rest for your starters. Nobody even came close. Drew Holiday was the closest to 30 minutes. I think you're going to see everybody again tomorrow night. I would think if you're going to rest, it's just going to be a matter of more minutes like this, of 24, 25, 28 minutes is what you'll see. But look, you're hitting the point where you're going to have more off time. You're going to have an extended off time with the All-Star break coming up. I think you've reached the point where consistency is what's most paramount right now, and getting that consistency, developing that, and getting back there on the floor. So I would be very surprised if we do see tomorrow treated as an off day for a handful of players. But tomorrow, technically today, that's another discussion entirely, as this is another team in the Los Angeles Clippers. You are not going to see Paul George. You are not going to see Kawhi Leonard. We don't know if you're going to see the recently acquired players that the Clippers had in that trade with tonight's opponent, the Portland Trail Blazers. So this is another winnable game, very winnable game. And look, the Bucks are the defending champions. So every game on the schedule should be viewed as a winnable game for this team. But this is even more winnable. Paul George is out. Kawhi Leonard is out. Vitya Zubats is questionable with some calf soreness. So it does appear as though the newest additions for the Clippers in former Buck, or at least former Buck draft pick, Norman Powell and Robert Covington will be playing tomorrow night. But look, not having to worry about Paul George, not having to worry about Kawhi Leonard, that changes things entirely. So if you can start this road trip with two wins and two impressive wins, at least impressive not so much in margin of victory, and impressive not so much in playing a team that doesn't have Paul George, that doesn't have Kawhi. Tonight you played a team that didn't have a Damian Lillard, but impressive in that don't mess around. What you did tonight, do the same thing. It doesn't have to be a near 30-point win. It can be an 8-point win. As long as you are comfortably in control and there is no disaster quarter. 30-plus in the third quarter, as you pointed out, Evan. First time that's happened seemingly in forever. They won the third quarter. The only quarter they didn't win tonight was the fourth, and I think they only lost it by 3 points. It wasn't a wire-to-wire victory, but it was close. There was only 4 lead changes in this game. So basically, once you got to the second quarter, it was over. Do that again tomorrow. I don't think that's asking a lot. Start to stack some of these wins where you can point to it and you say, well, it's inferior opponents. So what? Look at the rest of the standings. Outside of the top 3 teams in the Western Conference, almost every other team is struggling to do that and piece together that consistency. So that's what I'm looking for. And again, if we can look ahead even further, you know the two stars will be out tomorrow. LeBron James did make his return tonight. But look, I'm going to say it again. That Lakers team is not good. And that is not breaking any news to anybody that has watched NBA basketball this season. It is not a good team in Los Angeles. They are currently 9th behind the Clippers, who haven't had Paul George since before Christmas, who haven't had Kawhi Leonard all season. The Lakers are 9th. Even with LeBron James, they needed overtime tonight to beat the Knicks, and they struggled to do it. Yeah, you can point to injuries. Every single team can point to injuries. So it's reached the point in the NBA this season where you can't mention injuries, because there is not a single team that hasn't dealt with injuries or COVID, whatever it is. Schedule, every single team has gone through that. So don't point to me, well, they didn't have Anthony Davis. They didn't have LeBron James for the last 5 games. So what? The Bucks didn't have Bobby Portis and Chris and Giannis and Drew and everybody else. They haven't had Brooke Lopez since game number one. I mean, look what the Brooklyn Nets are going through as well. Every single team is dealing with injuries. We've seen enough to know this is not a good team. It's almost of the utmost importance you win the first three games on this road trip. Tomorrow is going to be sneakily tough because it is night two of a back-to-back. And now that I say that, the Bucks will just dominate the Clippers and make it a laugher. But tomorrow you would point to as, okay, not so fast. It's night two of a back-to-back. But still, with that matchup with Phoenix looming, you know how tough that is going to be. You know the Phoenix Suns, who have been incredible all season long, best record in basketball. They're winning 80% of their games. The Suns also 22-5 at home. That is the second best home record in basketball, trailing only the Warriors, who are 25-4. So you know it's going to be tough. You know Phoenix is going to be extra motivated since you're the team that ended their season in the NBA Finals last year. You don't want a 2-2 road trip here. 1-3 is an absolute disaster. 2-2 is suboptimal. 3-1 or 4-0 is what you are shooting for on this road trip. So to me, win the first three games because there are no givens in Phoenix to wrap things up. If you can get a 3-1 road trip heading into some more off time, then you come back home for two very winnable games against Portland and Indiana, and then you wrap up the first half of the schedule again at home against the Sixers. All of a sudden, Bucks have a shot to be in a really good spot, not only going into the All-Star break, and look, not as though they're not in a good spot now with the third best record in the conference, but all those questions about the consistency and everybody nationally you've heard as well, when are the Bucks going to turn the corner and be who we expect to see? This schedule, this stretch right now, this is your chance to do that, because I'm going to mention it again, just how brutal it gets in the month of March. 15 games in March. Five of them are at home. 14 games in March, excuse me, but five at home. The home games, the Miami Heat, the Phoenix Suns, the Chicago Bulls, and that is late March. So that's going to be right around the time maybe Alex Caruso is back. Maybe that's Alex Caruso's return game. Lonzo Ball, that's right around the timeline for Lonzo Ball. And Derek Jones Jr. You're starting to hear more and more optimism that maybe Patrick Williams will be back this year as well. But your five home games, the Miami Heat, the Phoenix Suns, the Atlanta Hawks, the Bulls, and then the Washington Wizards. Those are going to be four of the five really tough home games. The nine road games. They include the Chicago Bulls, the Golden State Warriors, who we just mentioned have been the best home team in basketball this year, the Utah Jazz, who again, that's mid-March. You expect by that point the Jazz are going to be healthy. They're another team dealing with injury issues right now. Minnesota Timberwolves, who have been a story so far this season. The Sixers, the Brooklyn Nets. Who knows how both of those teams are going to be looking. But the Memphis Grizzlies are in there as well. The only game on the road slate or games on the road slate you would point to as, all right, they got to win these. You have the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Sacramento Kings. Other than that, you're really pointing to three games out of 14 in March as these are absolutely must win. On the road in OKC, on the road in Sacramento, and at home against the Wizards. That's it. 11 games that are going to be difficult in March. So what you do here is very important. Eight games left in the month of February. Those eight games, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Suns, and then five home games. The Blazers, the Pacers, the Sixers, the Nets, and the Hornets. In those eight games, I think you have to go 6-2. If you go 5-3, it's fine. That's the absolute lowest we'll accept is 5-3. 6-2, great. You go 6-2. You finish the month of February 39-23. And all of a sudden, it's okay. It's not just, you know, 9-10 games above 500. They're starting to add a little more separation. And now all of a sudden, 50-plus wins. All right, this looks like that type of team. But if you stumble here and you're 4-4, even 5-3, I mean, it doesn't seem like a huge difference, but these wins are going to start to add up when it's still heading towards March. And 1-8 is separated by 5 games in the Eastern Conference. These wins matter. So I think you got to go 6-2 to wrap up this month of February. 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us tonight. When we return, there are 3 tweets that caught my attention on Buck's Twitter tonight. What is the tweet of the night? And I just mentioned how bunched up the Eastern Conference is. The latest projected standings for the end of the season in the East, and what the one thing that jumps out the most is. I'll tell you after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh?
Three-pointer from Bobby Portis. He can do no wrong. BP drills another 3 from the near wing. He's 10 of 11 from the floor. How about 5 of 6 from the bonus here tonight? 25 points for Portis.
Finished the game with 30, the most he has scored in a Bucks uniform. Bobby Buckets, the story of the game in Portland tonight. 6 three-pointers, also matches his career high. And speaking of Bobby Portis, looking through Bucks Twitter tonight, there were 3 tweets that caught my attention the most. What was the Bucks-related tweet of the night? We start with our friend Ty. You can hear Ty on the Eurostep podcast. Tweeting about Bobby Portis. Is it a coincidence? Bobby Portis erupted the first game the Bucks played with another true big in a few weeks, so he didn't have to be the center when Giannis sits. Caught my attention as well. I don't know if this is coincidental, but you know, what did we say the last couple of days? And especially this morning, once you saw Greg Monroe is back in town. Well, I mean, the importance that just having another center brings, and look, I was not on the side of it's a major mistake to get rid of Boogie Cousins. I thought he did a fine job here. I understood why they did it, because this week especially, it is important to have that roster flexibility. Was I surprised it took as long as it did to fill that 17th spot? Sure. But maybe they were waiting on Greg Monroe all along. But what we had said for the last couple of weeks, it's been about a month since Marcus Cousins has been gone. What we had said was, yeah, Giannis can play center. I don't want Giannis playing center for 30 to 35 minutes a night, 82 games a year. Giannis playing center for 35 to 40 minutes in the playoffs, sure. Sign me up for that. But in the regular season, I don't need to see that. It's the old 82 versus 16 discussion. So if you have more guys that can take some of those minutes, great. DeMarcus Cousins did that. Maybe Greg Monroe can do some of that. I think 15-ish minutes, that's the max we're going to see from Greg Monroe over the course of this 10-day contract. And who knows, maybe he gets a second. Maybe he's here for the remainder of the regular season. A lot of that's going to depend on what happens between now and not just Thursday with the trade deadline, but the buyout market as well. But again, you can't help but notice you add another big into the mix, and Bobby Portis does this. So that was the first tweet from Bucks Twitter that caught my attention tonight. The other one comes to us from Elijah Price. This was the one I found to be most interesting. Say what you want about John Horst, but he correctly made the calculation, as did I, that Bobby Portis was the one to retain. This one had me thinking quite a bit because, look, it's easy to jump to conclusions when Bobby has a game like this. Bobby's been tremendous all season long. As good as Bobby Portis was last year, he's been even better this year. The issue I have with this is Bobby Portis was not the one to retain. I maintain Bobby Portis was one to retain. I mean, that insinuates, well, P.J. Tucker was worth retaining for a number of reasons. You didn't, but it wasn't as though it's mutually exclusive. One is good, the other is not. What we're seeing is both still carry value and both still do the things that they did for you a season ago. And look, for as good as Bobby Portis has been, and to say, well, Bobby's made even more strides than he did a year ago, and Bobby's doing this, and a lot of that has to do with Brooke Lopez being out and Bobby just getting more opportunity. P.J. Tucker's doing the same thing. P.J. Tucker's been incredible for the Miami Heat. And look, if you just watched P.J. Tucker in the – I mean, that's the other thing I was thinking about this earlier today. P.J. Tucker was in Milwaukee for 5 months, basically. Five-month career that he spent with the Bucks, and he will be revered and remembered as one of the legends of the franchise for what he did in that playoff run. But if you watched P.J. Tucker last year and you thought, well, that's a good thing he does what he does defensively, because what did P.J. Tucker give the Bucks offensively? Less than 3 points a game. He was a 39% three-point shooter, but he took two threes a game, less than two threes a game. This year in Miami, P.J. Tucker is shooting 47% on threes. He's scoring 9 points a game, which is the most he's scored since 2014-15, his third year in the NBA. P.J. Tucker has been recording double-doubles. Offensively, he's a much different guy than we saw a season ago where he was just sitting in the corner waiting for open looks to come occasionally. This year, he's been generating offense. This year, he's been scoring on twos. He scored 20-plus points a couple of times. So, to me, it's not that Bobby Portis was the one to retain. Bobby Portis was one to retain. But the other one that caught my attention, this is a long thread of tweets, but the gist of it is this. Dante DiVincenzo is going to help us repeat, a couple of people pointed out. And I think the genesis from this is we saw a report earlier today that Bucks have no interest in moving Dante DiVincenzo. There's a number of layers to peel on that onion, which we don't have time to get to tonight. We can talk about that tomorrow. But it comes down to, hey, Dante is going to help us repeat, as one fan points out. And then you add to it, well, in college, Dante was injured. His team won the national championship. Then the next year, he scored 30 in the national championship game to help them repeat. Will history repeat itself? I mean, that's my favorite, and hopefully that happens. But three tweets from Bucks Twitter that got me to thinking, the Bucks tweet of the night. When we return, those standings, how bunched up things remain in the Eastern Conference, and what the latest projections are. We'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Men, Valis.
Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Grayson's going the other way. He'll feed ahead. Portis is cooking. Here's another three, and it is Rip City for Bobby Portis. He sinks his sixth three-pointer of the night on seven tries, and the Bucks lead 95-64.
All right, remember, it is an 8 o'clock tip-off tomorrow in Los Angeles, the Bucks and the Clippers, so 7:30 is when our network coverage will begin. This victory tonight by the Bucks pushes them up to 33 wins on the season. They're 33-21. This is updated daily. 538 puts together their algorithm and formula to project their Raptor player ratings. They use this for project the standings and records for every team they updated each morning, it was updated about 30 minutes ago. The most recent update shows in the Eastern Conference, their projections show the Miami Heat will finish with 52 wins, the best record in the East. At 50 wins, they have the Bucks, which would be second best. Sixers, they have projected to go 49-33, and the Chicago Bulls at 47-35 would be fourth. The Cavs, they have at 46-36, so they would be fifth. They have the Boston Celtics at the sixth seed right now, meaning the Brooklyn Nets, according to their projections, would be in the play-in tournament. And despite that, despite being projected to be in the play-in tournament, they have the Brooklyn Nets, obvious reason here, but they have the Brooklyn Nets with a 10% chance of making the NBA Finals. Oh, by the way, as of this morning, the Bucks have a 33%, according to these projections, chance of making the Finals, which is the biggest in the league, and an 18% chance of winning the Finals, which, again, are the best odds out there. So it's amazing what wins like this will do. Now it's just a matter of stacking victories like this together on a more consistent basis. Still just five times they've lost when their trio of Giannis, Drew, and Chris all play. 8 o'clock tomorrow night in Los Angeles for the Bucks and the Lakers. 11 o'clock-ish is when we'll hit the airwaves with Bucks Talk. My thanks to Evan and Max for producing the show and you for hanging out for the last hour. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Bucks Talk.
After 40.